Welcome to another edition of An Artifact Your Journey. I'm your host, Philip J. Merrill, and today, it sounds like a broken record, but I am excited. I'm always excited, but today I get to talk with a sharp colleague that I am just honored to be able to be in her space. She works around the country in a emerging field for people of African descent, which is preservation. And we're going to delve deeply into something that should be trending. And if not, we would like to try to get it to trend, which is looking at a critical site in Philadelphia. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Lawana Holland Moore. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Who in the world are you?
I am the Director of Fellowships and Interpretive Strategies at the National Trust for Historic Preservation's African American Cultural Heritage Action Fund.
What does that mean to the people that have no clue of what it is you just said?
Well, the African American Cultural Heritage Action Fund is the National Trust multi-year, more than $80 million initiative that is committed to crafting a narrative that expands our view of history by telling the full story of African American historic sites. And to help to promote a national identity that reflects this nation's true diversity. We are the largest preservation effort that has ever been undertaken in support of African American historic sites.
The largest.
The largest.
And how long have you been fortunate to be in the employ of the National Trust?
Well, I came on about 6 months after the Action Fund's creation. It was created in 2017. I came in 2018. And since its creation, we've given out over $12.4 million in funding to over 160 Black historic sites and the organizations that support them.
Oh, that's magnificent. And I know we're talking about the City of Brotherly Love or World UNESCO site, but I got a detour for a minute. You're talking about Charlotte, North Carolina. And right now, isn't there a lot of interest in the Nina Simone home?
Yes, in Tryon, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that out. I am right now in North Carolina, so I wanted to put that kudos in. So
yes, absolutely.
Let's go back to Philadelphia. So What just happened where for the first time in May for Preservation Month, there are two listings from the same town. And so can you talk about that for a minute?
I sure can. Last week, we announced that the Henry Ossawa Tanner House is listed in our National Trust for Historic Preservation's annual America's 11 Most Endangered Historic Places list, which is now in its 36th year. Yeah, this list it's a powerful tool for historic preservation that serves to bring awareness and visibility to the sites on it, with the hope that they will receive more support and funding as a result.
And attention, because attention yes. lead to funding and other disclosures and other critical data coming out of the woodwork that make the project run even more smoothly.
Yes, it is the great hope that by being on this list, that we get the word out about these sites, along with the Tanner House. Also in Philadelphia was Philadelphia's Chinatown. Right. And both neighborhoods are essentially threatened by whether it's development or gentrification. So by being able to bring this visibility, this awareness and future support, we want to be able to allow these heritage communities, this heritage site, to continue to inspire future generations.
And, before we were really on air, I was giving you a George Clinton kind of said, not new to it, but true to it. But realistically, people of African descent are coming late to the table, so to speak, where we've already lost so much of our built environment in urban centers, as well as in farmland, and obviously the historic Rosenwald schools. And we just seem like we are always at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so what your group is doing is helping to get us back on track with resources, information, skilled professionals, and more importantly, funding.
Yes. Absolutely. It's so important because African American history is American history.
Amen, sister. Say that again.
African American history is American history.
I've been saying that every day for too many years to count.
When we elevate these stories, these places, we are not only understanding our past, but we are creating opportunities for dialogue and forming stronger arguments in terms of how to link preservation to the honoring of our ancestors, honoring of ourselves, honoring of our history.
Yes.
I mean, when we talk about place, we're talking about memory. We're
Yes.
talking about tangible connections because we can walk where they walk and touch where they touched and be where they were.
In 2016, a group of students that we were working with at Lincoln University in Oxford, Pennsylvania, got their first chance to speak at an ASALA conference. The theme was A Hallowed Ground, Sacred Sites of Memory. The Strawberry Mansion neighborhood, where we're talking ultimately about the Tanner property, is really hallowed ground. It's a sacred site of memory, correct?
Yes.
So this dovetails with what you're just talking about. And the part that none of us have really talked about, cultural tourism is a $520 billion a year industry. So look at how you could create jobs. You could create improving a tax base. You could create product development. I mean, so much can come out of one effort to preserve and recognize just one building.
Yes. I always tell people that these structures, these places don't exist in a vacuum,
Correct.
that they are part of a community,
Thank
they are
you.
part of somewhere.
Thank you.
So when we preserve these places and protect these places, it's not just about the place itself,
Right.
it's about everything around it, everyone around it as well, because they are the stewards
Yes.
of this place, they're the stewards of this story of this place.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
when that's lost, that's lost.
Correct. And you know what? African proverb that I've been using for 30 years or 20 some years, it goes like this: when an elder dies, a library is burned to the ground. Now, we don't value sitting at a family reunion and letting grandma just ramble on about the good old days, but we need to value that. We need to purposely seek out the matriarch or the patriarch in our family, in our church, in our community, in our Jack and Jill organization, in our Eastern Star, in our Masonic Lodge, because they are walking encyclopedias of the past.
Absolutely. One issue that we have within our communities and other communities of color as well is that often our places were not valued.
Correct.
They weren't fancy mansions. They're not built by star architects.
Correct.
So
Correct.
these places are often overlooked, they're
Yeah.
often undervalued. And for those reasons, often the community will know. The community will know of its importance. But to anyone outside of that community, this might just look like nothing to them.
Right. To support you some more, we have to have a collaboration of the academy and the street historian and the grassroots people that run the neighborhood association.
It has to be a bridge between them because the thing about preservation is that it almost has its own language.
It does. It does.
And often the one of the things is that we'll see that it will get to a point of crisis
Right.
or a point of loss. And then, but this shouldn't be like that. The community should be involved from the very beginning in terms of planning what is to happen within their community, what's to happen in terms of saving this place. It shouldn't come to, oh, we're about to tear it down. Then everyone is up in arms.
But also, you know, it's been difficult historically for us to be at the table for these preservation boards or committees. And
Yes.
I can speak from experience because in 2006 or seven, I was a Baltimore City CHAP commissioner, appointed by the mayor and city council. That means that stands for Commission for Historical Architectural Preservation. We got to sit in front of applicants where we determined what they would do with buildings. Whether it be dealing with local or national designation, whether it be with demolition by neglect, whether it be a mid-block demolition. So then not a lot of people of color that were being appointed to this commission or to other preservation commissions. But now the movement, you know, you got Brent Legs, you got you got other people around the country that are really beginning to, you know, chip away that monument of what I want to call elitist white behavior.
Yes.
That built many archives that didn't value collecting the maps or the plats and the and data or hard data from ordinary Black people that today public historians are salivating over trying to learn more about, not just the upper crust. You know, God bless W.E.B. Du Bois and the Talented 10 and so forth. But what about the other aspects of a community, right?
Well, there's a statistic. And for me, for instance, I have my master's in historic preservation, but the statistic shows that only 1% of trained preservation practitioners are African American. Only 1%. So if it's 1% for us, then what is it saying for Native preservationists or Asian American or Pacific Islander preservationists, Latinx, Latino preservationists? What does that say? Who is telling our story if we as African Americans are only 1% of trained preservationist practitioners? This means that at decision-making levels, we're not there. We're not there. And the thing is that African Americans, we have been doing preservation work all along. We just haven't formally called it preservation.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
When collecting money for that church building fund,
right.
Cleaning our family cemeteries or that church cemetery, that's preservation work.
Okay, so again, to dovetail on what you're saying, let's look at some jargon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Think of the word today that's popular, which is philanthropic. Within these ethnic communities, we were all about philanthropy, but we didn't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sustainable. So all of a sudden you have a vocabulary words that people want to say, oh, well, you know, this is all new for these ethnic groups. That's not true, because we were doing it. We just did not give it the vocabulary that is now trending in America.
And I think also, too, that there's been an adversarial relationship between the Black community and other communities of color and historic preservationists. A lot of it dealing with that elitist perception of preservation, not to mention the perception that preservation can have a direct connection to gentrification and displacement within communities of color.
Right.
So, you know, when you have that disconnect or it's not an effort being made to connect, that's where problems can happen. That's where those cracks can happen in terms of preservation's relationship to the community, particularly the Black community and other communities of color.
Oh, so well stated. And I got two other points, and then I want to get into our because I don't want to lose that, because everything you're saying is so on point, exciting, and timely. As I go around the country and work in different Black enclaves, one thing that really pains me is that the homeowners don't understand that if you're in a historic district, there are certain guidelines or prerequisites you have to follow. And as far as disseminating of information, that is a major roadblock where many homeowners feel as though, I pay that mortgage, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. But guess what? You cannot put those vinyl windows in that property, or you can't paint your door that color. Okay, and this is a big issue. Folks often don't understand the difference between local designation versus national designation, and folks don't understand the benefit of being proactive. If everybody's in compliance, the values of your property, first of all, you're gonna have integrity, you're gonna have continuity, but the value of your property will stay at a certain level or go up. But if you allow someone to come in that's gonna paint some, put up a formstone facade that's not appropriate, that's lowering the value of your property. And what about creating some type of markers program? So many white historic communities have plaques on the exterior that let you know, and this is common, George Washington slept here, blah, 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 but, or Ben Franklin, but more money, attention, education, and activities need to be done with regarding creating markers programs in these historic Black communities. So with that said, I got to you because I teased you with a few Tanner-related artifacts.
Yes.
They were just a few. I realized since then that we have more, but I just wanted to kind of wet the whistle so you would agree to talk to me about the Henry O. Tanner.
Yes, that I saw that it was it was a book by Benjamin Tucker Tanner.
Yes.
And he had autographed it for someone.
Yes.
And I think what people really need to understand is just how amazing the Tanner family was.
Correct. Correct.
Just yes. As a family, how amazing that they were. Of course, the most famous member of the family being Henry Ossawa Tanner, the internationally renowned painter, considered by the Smithsonian to be the most distinguished African-American artist of the 19th century. And a lot of us know him from his painting, The Banjo Lesson.
Most definitely.
Among other paintings. I mean, he studied art in Paris.
We were blessed over 20 plus years ago to acquire a business card that says H.O. Tanner, 70 Rue Notre Dame de Jean in Paris.
When they he was in Paris.
On the back.
Oh, wow.
And not only that, people have forgotten that in 1973, the United States Postal Service put him on a stamp.
Yes, he was.
So 50 years later, it's high time. As a matter of fact, it's overtime. It should have already been done that this property is finally gaining some much needed attention.
It really is. I mean, as I said, the family in general, his father was the minister of Mother Bethel, AME. I mean, the founding church of the AME faith. I mean, and the editor of the Christian Recorder, which was, I believe, the largest African American newspaper at the time, periodical at the time.
Yeah, very significant, too.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he was well educated, had a doctorate of divinity. This was a family that was all about achievement and looking forward. Even his mother, just the very act of, as a child, becoming self-emancipated from slavery in Virginia.
That's a heavy story right there. That's
it
heavy.
Really is. Her mother sent her and her siblings off knowing she was never going to see them again.
I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine. I'm a father.
I cannot imagine what that was like.
Right.
And then, you know, she ends up marrying Benjamin Tucker Tanner, and they have this family that just goes on to do incredible things. I mean, Henry's sister, she was just amazing as well. Dr. Hallie Tanner Dillon Johnson, who taught at Tuskegee University. She became the first woman of any race to become a licensed physician in the state of Alabama.
And see, that in itself is noteworthy. See,
his niece became the first Black person in the United States to earn a PhD in economics. She was also the first national president of Delta Sigma Theta sorority. This was just a family that just accomplished amazing things.
And so, I was fortunate to meet someone that knew her. See, so, and who's also a Black attorney, who there's so many legs or tentacles that come out of the Tanner surname, the Tanner family, that had the roots right here with the property, correct?
It is. This was their home. This was their home from 1871 to 1950. This was their home.
How did you get involved with, and can you give us the name of the group in Philadelphia, please?
Yes, absolutely. The Friends of the Tanner House. They were created in 2021 to try to protect this heritage property. They're an all-volunteer group of 7 community activists, including 2 who were present at the announcement last week in Philadelphia, Christopher Rogers and Judith Robinson. They are working hard to acquire the house and reimagine its future. They have a website if anyone would like to find out more information about how to best support them. It's SaveTheTannerHouse, all one word, .org.
Great. And they have a Facebook page because—
Yes, they do.
When I first watching them and clicking on what this effort was about. And it's grown with momentum. Because when it's,
Yes.
I was like, my goodness, no one seems to be interested in this. But now, and that's why I wanted to do a podcast that can get edited quickly and put up and encourage people to donate money, to reach out to them, to share
Yes.
historical information like we're sharing, to give it the right kind of send off that it needs to be preserved.
Prince of Tanner House is also working with the Preservation Alliance of Greater Philadelphia and other community partners, because their hope is to create a long-term stewardship plan that can help to honor the legacy of this place and, you know, reflect the powerful impact of Black heritage, innovation, achievement, not to mention Strawberry Mansion, the neighborhood itself. It has experienced disinvestment and discrimination due to redlining, segregation, systemic racism, and is threatened by ongoing gentrification that could erase its cultural legacy, its Black cultural legacy, and heritage landmarks such as the Tanner House.
And what you just said can be replicated in so many other centers.
Yes, absolutely.
Words, they're the usual suspects that are a danger to our preservation movement.
Yes, we see this all across the country. It's one thing about the Action Fund is that we are able to see the breadth of Black preservation need.
Yes.
Because we're hearing from communities across the country, we're, you know, we've been involved in literally helping to save and protect these sites. And the Tanner House is no different. If anything, we are hoping that going forward, that they will get the support and the funding that they need to save this house, which is in critical need of collapse. I think people really need to understand, this house might not be here tomorrow under the wrong circumstances, because it needs to be stabilized. It needs a new roof. It can collapse. This is something that could possibly not be here tomorrow.
And
so
that's why I was pressing you to give us a time right away so we could get this quickly edited
yes
and ask people to please reach out in any possible way. So I'm giving you the last word. How can someone contact you and your office with regard to what you do and if they want to be involved in some other way?
Oh, absolutely. Please feel free to, if you'd like to know more about what we're doing at the Action Fund, the 11 Most List, and the work of the National Trust for Historic Preservation, please visit our website at www.savingplacesallonword.org.
Okay, so this is it. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I'm so delighted to get a chance to chop it up with you. I hope this isn't the last time, because we work all across the country, and we're lock, stock, and barrel with regard to lots of your initiatives.
Yes.
And I can't wait to come to Philadelphia again. Hopefully, the Tanner House will still be standing.
Thank I hope so
you
too.
For the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.